Hear the promises of God. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live." We gather this day as people of faith in the presence of God to remember and give thanks for the life of Dorothy Emma Gray. We gather with her family and friends, her church family, to offer support to one another as we face our own mortality, aware that the span of our lives is not of our own choosing, but resides in the hands of God. We gather as people of faith to proclaim the hope that is ours for eternal life through Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? O good and gracious God, we gather on this day that is filled with both rejoicing and sorrow. We gather as people of faith to give thanks to you for Dottie's life. O Holy Spirit, draw near in these moments to all who mourn, that we may know again your peace and the promise of eternal life that is ours. In Christ's name, amen.
Just a few personal thoughts before reading the scripture. As most of you know, Dottie and Tom and their family were very active in this church for many years. In fact, not far from where I'm standing right now, Tom sang in the choir year after year. And of course, Dottie served as our church secretary for 17 years. From doing church bulletins and newsletters to handling the many different kinds of phone calls, which some were happy and some were sad and some were, "Where's the minister?" She handled all of those very ably. By the way, Dr. Badger, who worked with Dottie for many years, though unable to be here, sent his sincere condolences to you and appreciation for Dottie. Well, the fact was Dottie was just a gem and very helpful to everybody, whatever their need might be. Though not able to be here much in the last few years, she certainly has been missed. Oh yes, and a number of us, of course, are envious of the wonderful summers that you and your family and she thoroughly enjoyed at the cabin in Montana. She loved that place so dearly. You know, I'd call her once, in April, "Are you going again?" "Of course I'm going this year." And being able to be with her family was even more meaningful. What fun you guys had. And now Dottie is home with God. May God bless her and each of you as well. Now may I read the scriptures, beginning with John 19, verse 41. Now there was a garden in the place where Jesus was crucified. And in the garden, there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and what we do not know where they have laid him." Moving on to verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am in the process of ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had done these things for her. Will you join me now as we sing together the hymn, let me pull it out here, In the Garden, number 227. We'll remain seated as we sing. The second passage comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. May God bless to us the reading of these words.
The beloved hymn in the garden is inspired by John's account of the resurrection. It is a poetic telling of the encounter between Mary Magdalene and the risen Christ. When we sing, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses," it places us in that garden on the first Easter morning. Early in the morning, Mary went to the garden with a heavy heart, expecting to find the body of the crucified Lord. Instead, the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. Mary ran to find the apostles. Peter and John came with her, but when they saw the place where he had been laid and no sign of Jesus, they did not understand. When we stare death in the face, we know the same confusion, fear, and despair the disciples felt. From the garden tomb, Simon Peter and the apostle Jesus loved returned to their homes, but Mary stayed. It was in the garden that Jesus called her by name. When she first saw a man standing near the empty tomb, through tears filling her eyes, she thought it must be the gardener. But then Jesus spoke her name. "The voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and talks with me." Throughout our lives, all along our faith journey, we are invited to that garden to meet Jesus, to hear him call us by name. The Bible begins with the story of God walking in a garden. God's love for humanity is shown in the beauty of creation. God, who created us, male and female, in God's own image, longs to be in intimate relationship with us. But because of our sin, our turning our backs to God, what was created as a place of beauty and joy is touched by heartache and sorrow. Death enters into the story. When we mark the passing of one we dearly love, even when death comes at the end of a long life, we are touched by heartache and sorrow. Yet Jesus' death on the cross carries away the weight of our sin, and with it, the fear of death itself. When we answer his calling us by name, the joy of resurrection bridges the chasm between heaven and earth, and our relationship with God is fully restored as we are invited to walk in the garden of heaven. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. In a sense, the story of faith both begins and ends with a garden. As we move from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we read how time and time again, God chooses to be present with humanity, in spite of our sin, through all of our wanderings, until, as we read in the last book of the Bible, we see a new heaven and a new earth where God's own home is among mortals. God will wipe every tear from our eye. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Today, in sharing part of the story of Dottie's life, we share what a joy it was to know her and the comforting peace that comes from faith as God's eternal love reduces the pain of loss we feel, giving us hope for eternal life. Dottie's earthly life began on December 17, 1921, in Fort Morgan, Colorado. Her parents, Mary and Frederick Eidman, moved the family to Casper in the late 1920s. She graduated as valedictorian from Natrona County High School in 1939 and attended Woodbury College in Illinois. While living in Boise, Idaho, she met a young airman named Tom Gray. They were married at Mountain Home Army Airfield during World War II. Afterwards, they lived in Lake Charles, Louisiana, until moving to Casper in 1954. Raising four children was a full-time job, one she did so well. The twins, Tim and Chris, and younger brother Paul, could always think up some kind of mischief. And later, when Susan joined the family, even though she was outnumbered by her three brothers, she could hold her own. There were joyous camping trips to Yellowstone. Back in the days when the Park Service set up a grandstand for visitors to watch the bears feeding at the dump, a well-meaning neighbor in the campground handed out cherry bombs, supposedly for campers to use to scare off the bears. Somehow the twins managed to gain every cherry bomb in camp and found that to be a great source of fun. The family loved the mountains and forest around Yellowstone so much that Tom and Dottie decided to build a summer home between Cook City and Silver Gate, Montana. It took several years of ongoing construction to complete, but soon became a beloved home base for the family. The site of a wedding, picnics and barbecues, boisterous family reunions, and quiet times of retreat. Dorothy loved the cabin and spent every summer there. Last winter, during one of our phone chats, she told me she wasn't sure whether she'd make it up to Montana. There was great sadness in her voice as she talked about how it just seemed she might not have the physical stamina to pack up and get there. She was tired. Her children knew how much her soul thrived each year in that cabin time in the wildness of God's garden. They plotted together, made all the arrangements. Susan took care of packing, and they whisked her away for what now we know would be her last season at the cabin. It is a testimony of love that her children made sacrifices and gave support to aid Dottie's wish to remain in her own home here in Casper and to spend so much of each year in Montana. Sitting on the porch, welcoming guests, visiting with neighbors, hiking in the forest, sharing in activities at the Mountain Republic Chapel, all brought joy to her heart and light to her soul. Encounters with bear, moose, and bison provided a source for great stories, which I'm told even includes the twins daring one another to pet the wildlife, though they should have known better. While Dottie loved watching the animals, sometimes there would be so many bison grazing in front of the cabin, she'd get nervous that they'd trample the landscape. So for a while, she tried using an air horn to scare them away. You know, the loud kind you hear at sporting events. Since she was hard of hearing, she may not have quite realized how loud that sound was. But after a while, it didn't bother the bison much. Somewhere along the way, standing on the front porch, she discovered that if you'd hiss, perhaps sounding like a rattlesnake, the bison would take off right away. No matter how carefully you tend a garden, there will always be some weeds to deal with. If a plant can be considered a nemesis, dandelions were Dorothy's. Metaphorically speaking, the garden of her life was not all roses. 25 years ago, her beloved husband, Tom, was electrocuted while working in their yard. The shock and pain of his sudden tragic death scorched scars into her heart that could never completely heal. Yet part of the miracle of a garden is that even after the worst of storms, vegetation will eventually recover and grow again. Part of the miracle of life is seen when the pain of death doesn't stop love, but leaves its mark, and with courage and faith, the living find strength to keep on going. See Austin Miles' hymn ends, "I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me and talks with me." None of us get to choose when we'll leave the garden of earth for the heavenly realm. but we can choose how we will live during whatever time we are given. Dorothy Gray lived faithfully for 96 years as daughter and sister, wife and mother, and faithful follower of Christ. She and Tom were active members here at First Christian for many years. They joined on Palm Sunday, 1962. Tom was an elder and sang in the choir. Dorothy served on the Social Action Commission and was very active in CWF. In 1970, she began serving as First Christian Church's secretary alongside Reverend Llewellyn, then Dr. Norman, followed by a young preacher from Oklahoma who'd never worked with a church secretary before. Dr. Badger remembers his first conversation with Dottie. She told him, "As long as you have your bulletin on my desk every Wednesday and your newsletter article turned in each time monthly, we'll get along famously." And they did. He echoes what I've heard from so many others, that she was a super secretary and did everything with great care and attention. Bryant also recalls how close she was to her own mother, seeing her for lunch nearly every day. Through the years, the church was her family and helped raise her family. Whether it was a member reminding her children to settle down while they were wiggling in a pew next to Reverend C's kids, or Rick and Brian Black catching her eye when they'd helped their mom, Betty, run the mimeograph machine if Dottie needed a hand, her influence in our church family spans the generations. Tim and Chris, Paul and Susan, I bring you greetings from members of the church who couldn't be present today, including from Ann Clocksame and Wilma Allen, who's just a few years older than your mom was, and of course from Dr. Badger as well, who lives in Colorado now. Of course, there is more that we could tell. We could talk about Dottie's excellent pie baking skills and the homemade chocolates she made, her knitting, crocheting, crafting, and doll making, her generous service, not just as church secretary here, but also as board secretary at the chapel between Cook City and Silvergate, her delivering Meals on Wheels until she turned 90, her deep and abiding love for her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. When I first arrived here as pastor 9 years ago, Dottie was in worship nearly every Sunday, at least for half the year when she wasn't in Montana. I think it was about the age of 92 that she started to slow down a little. We saw her less often on Sunday mornings, but this church still loved your mom. After 96 years and 37 days on earth, on January 24th, 2018, Dorothy Emma Gray took her last breath on earth and her first breath in heaven. She heard Jesus calling her by name to come to him and rest. We give thanks that she is now in the very presence of God, where she can hear Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I invite you to join in singing the beloved hymn, "How Great Thou Art." You'll find it on page 33 of the hymnal. Thank you. Will you pray with me? O God, indeed, how great thou art. When we wander through forest glades or gaze upon mountain peaks, we are stirred by your creation, O Creator God, to praise you, to give thanks for the garden of this world in which you have planted us, your people. O Holy Spirit, how great thou art. When love stirs the human heart and moves us to generous acts beyond our own means, your glory is revealed anew. O Christ, how great thou art. Your saving sacrifice bestows upon us the gift of eternity, a gift which now belongs to Dottie Gray. O great and gracious God, We humbly thank you for Dorothy's life, and we pray your blessing upon her throughout all eternity. By your mighty power, you gave us life, and in your love, you give us new life in Jesus Christ. We now entrust Dottie to your merciful care. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the company of the saints of light. O Jesus, we still long to walk with Dottie and talk with her. But now that privilege is yours alone. May the whisper of memories continue to give to her children, to all of her family, the life lessons that Dorothy embodied. O good and gracious God, we give you thanks for a life well lived, a life well loved. In your precious name, we pray together as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art Following the service today, there's a time of refreshment waiting for us. Some of Dottie's friends and co-workers in Christian Women's Fellowship have prepared refreshments downstairs in Fellowship Hall. And we hope that everyone here will have time to stay and greet her family, perhaps to share your own memory of Dottie's life, the blessing that she was, the times you laughed together, as well as the moments that perhaps you cry a little. In sharing our love, our stories with one another, we celebrate her continuing presence with us, as well as her presence in eternity with Christ. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God, be merciful to us and bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving health among all nations, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.